208. Genius. Genius usually refers to one who has rare mental powers with which he was born. In a dictionary, the word genius is illustrated with the sentence, Einstein was a genius. Einstein was believed to be able to make discoveries which few others could just because he was a genius. However, Edison once said, Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. By so saying, he meant that none was born a genius. If there was genius at all, he believed, the only difference between a genius and common people is that the genius works much harder rather than he relies on inspiration. I agree with him. Thomas Edison was a genius. But had he not worked too diligently in the lab, he wouldn't have made such great contributions to the mankind. Sir Isaac Newton was so absorbed in his experiments that he occasionally forgot his meals. They worked much harder than common people to be geniuses. Besides, if we all believe in the dominating factor of talent in a genius, nobody will do anything but wait for inspiration. So, it's both true and necessary to say that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration.
209. Libraries in London Colleges. Most London colleges have a library with a full-time or part-time librarian who will be able to give students information on the facilities available for consulting or borrowing books. In addition, the public libraries give a valuable service to students attending colleges, evening classes, or working on their own. Public libraries are maintained by the City Corporation and the various London Borough Councils. They will be helpful to students who wish to further their studies by using the comprehensive library services available in the metropolitan area. These libraries have over 5 million books in stock, the majority of which are for loan, and there is a system of inter-availability of lending library tickets which extends throughout the metropolitan area. Reference departments are provided for the use of those who wish to consult books and periodicals in the library, or heavy publications such as encyclopedias, which cannot be taken out on loan. Public library stocks are of a general nature, covering all subjects. Each public library in the metropolitan area specializes in a group of interrelated subjects, and through the cooperation between various libraries, their combined resources are made generally available. Moreover, through the inner lending system of the British Library, it is usually possible for books not available in London public libraries to be obtained from specialist libraries. Music stocks, for example, include music writings and frequently records. Full details of these various services can be obtained from the central library in each area. Addresses and telephone numbers are listed in the London Telephone Directory.
210. My opinion of today's education. I think one of the main problems with today's education is that too much emphasis is placed on test score. It has become the most important criterion for college enrollment. A student, however creative and intelligent, will not be admitted into a college if his total score is just 1 point less than required. It is also one of the crucial factors either in job assignment or in employment competitions. The competition for high scores among students becomes intense. Students find themselves concentrating more on strategies to achieve high scores than on acquiring the knowledge. They will play tricks on some courses, skip over the substance which will not be tested on, even pamper teachers for hints on upcoming exams. Teachers are apt to give their students high scores. As their job is judged mainly by the student's performance in terms of scores, some teachers tend to set easy papers to test their students on or narrow down the scope of the exam. Some teachers even leak accidentally the exam questions or lower their criterion of scoring. As a result, the competition for high scores becomes so intense that it actually defeats the academic goals of education.
211. Studying abroad. Studying abroad is an excellent way for students to learn about themselves and the world in which they live. When studying in a foreign country, students will interact with people from different cultures. By doing so, they will experience the characteristics of a distant culture and see the similarities and differences. They will have chances to visit places about which they previously known only through lectures and textbooks, and to learn at least some of the native languages as well. Not only will students learn more about the world, but they will also discover more about themselves. Through seeing how others live, students will probably think more about their own lives. In doing so, they will evaluate their own values and consider their appropriate place in the world. Finally, studying abroad would bring them practical benefit. With this kind of experience listed on a resume, prospective employers may be impressed to know that this applicant can survive in a different environment. Thus, this person is likely to accept any challenging tasks. This is certainly a general characteristic for which employees search in a job applicant. Studying abroad is a very useful way to enhance one's educational experience. It fosters knowledge about oneself as well as the outside world.
212. It is unwise to cancel examinations. As the calling for a quality-oriented educational system is getting increasingly strong, the cancellation of exams has found a good number of advocates who tend to base their opinion on the fact that tests don't tell the whole story. As a teacher of 10 years professional experience, I have found that the student who earns good marks is generally a good student, and that the student's final mark in a subject is usually a grade average of the year's work. Of course, there are exceptions, but they do not have the frequency that would give an unfair picture of a student's ability. Besides, there is no acceptable substitute for competition and examination of quality. How can teachers and future employers determine what a student has learned and remembered? Should we simply take the student's word for it? Any institution that liberates students from fair exams is misguided, if not ignorant. When all is said and done, I sense that a fear of failure and a fear of unpleasant comparison with others is at the bottom of most ban exams talk. Excellence and quality fear nothing. On the contrary, they seek competition and desire the satisfaction of being the best.
213. Which courses to take?
I usually advise first-year students to take mathematics, chemistry, and introductory engineering in the first quarter.
Oh, only three classes?
Yes, but I'm sure that you'll be busy. They're all four-hour courses, and you'll have to meet each class every day. The chemistry course has an additional two-hour laboratory.
Would that be 14 hours of class a week?
That's right.
Okay. Which mathematics course do you think I should take?
Have you taken very much math in high school?
4 years. I had algebra, geometry, and trigonometry.
Good. Then I suggest that you take the math placement test. It's offered this Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning in Tower Auditorium.
Do I need anything to be admitted? I mean, a permission slip?
No, just the identification. A driver's license will be fine.
Do I take a chemistry test too?
No. Chemistry 100 is designed for students who have never taken a chemistry course, and Chemistry 200 for students who have had chemistry in high school.
I've had two courses in chemistry.
Then you should take Chemistry 200, Orientation to Engineering, and either Mathematics 130 or 135, depending on the result of your placement test. Come back Friday afternoon. I should have your score on the test by then, and we can get you registered.
214. Practice makes perfect. We all know that practice makes perfect is a very popular saying both in Chinese and in English. It means that when you want to learn some knowledge, you have to repeat them many times, and then you may remember what you learn. Also, we can say the more you know something, the better you can do it. Whether we study or work, those words are very useful to us. We can take English study as an example. When we want to learn some new words or some good sentences by heart, we will read them and write them again and again until we can recite them. Sometimes it will take up a lot of time for us to remember, but once we remembered, we can use them skillfully. Whereas, when you are afraid that you cannot remember some words, and you do not want to try your best, you will not remember them well. However, when you take an English examination and come across some words, meanings, and usage you don't understand, what will you feel at that time? You must feel regret. So English study means that you have to practice more and more. Still, we can look at another example in learning. When we have heard the same story for many times, we can remember it very well, and we can recite it to others. At the same time, we can also imagine some stories according to what we have heard. So, in our study and life, we should bear in our minds the sentence, "Practice makes perfect." In this way, we can study well and live a better life.
215. Getting to know the world outside the campus. It is absolutely necessary for college students to know the world outside the campus. The ultimate end for college study is to serve society. Every college student has to join society someday. If they do not know sufficiently enough about the outside world, it may be very difficult for them to adapt to society. There are several ways for them to get to know the outside world. First, they can read newspapers, listen to radios, and watch TV. Actually, all the major events and changes in society are covered in the media in time and in details. If students make full use of the media, they will be quite informed about the society they live in. Second, students can take part in social services. In this way, they can get in touch with all kinds of people and know their views. Third, students can even take up some part-time jobs if time permits. By doing so, they can experience the feeling of joining the society they live in and doing a job for it. As for myself, I will read more newspapers. They are available in the school library. I have a portable radio. Every day, I spend some time listening to the news. In the summer vacation, I will take up a part-time job. I believe I can know a lot about society in this way.
216. The Written Test. The written test is an effective way of measuring a learner's competence. Every year, tens of thousands of students take part in the entrance examination in the written form for admission to college. Many others take part in written tests for getting a job for further study. Generally speaking, people are satisfied with this form of test because it is fair to all and can be well prepared. The test is usually designed by experts who work diligently through a strict pretest. There are, however, some limits to its effectiveness. Some abilities, such as the ability to communicate or to cooperate, cannot be examined in the written test. Yet, these abilities are of extreme importance. What's worse is that the popularity of the written test tends to make students focus too much on the study of books and ignore the development of their abilities in other ways. We can make an examination more accurate by having some additional tests in other forms. For instance, we can hold interviews. We can also ask the students to deliver speeches and hold a debate. When we combine all these scores together, I believe we will have a fairer and more effective assessment of the participants.
217. The teacher-student relationship. The relationship between a teacher and a student can be either good or bad, helpful or harmful. Either way, the relationship can affect the student for the rest of his life. A good teacher-student relationship will make learning enjoyable and interesting for the student, and will make the teacher's job worthwhile. A bad relationship can discourage the student from learning and make teaching an unpleasant task. In order to have a good teacher-student relationship, it is important that the teacher and the student respect each other. If the teacher is too strict, he frightens the student. The student will not learn well. On the other hand, if the teacher is too friendly, the student may become lazy and stop working as hard as possible. The teacher's attitude and approach should be in between. He should encourage the student without forcing or pushing him to learn. He needs patience and understanding. It is part of the teacher's job to help develop a good, positive attitude in his students. As for the student, in order to have a good relationship with his teacher, he must always show his proper respect. He should be eager to learn and willing to work hard. If he learns from the teacher modestly, he will be able to profit fully from his teacher's knowledge and assistance. In conclusion, a good teacher-student relationship can be mutually beneficial. The student gains knowledge eagerly and enjoyably, and the teacher gains satisfaction from his job.
218. Education and the Market. As the socialist market economy in China is expanding, education is becoming more closely related to the market. In a broad sense, the whole modern society is based on the market economy. As part of the society, education cannot be separated from the market. In fact, the former has much to do with the latter. Therefore, it is generally believed that education serves the market, which in turn supports education. The reason for education to enter the market is obvious. As a developing country, China is not likely to invest a huge amount of money in the near future. Education has to turn to the market to find its own way. It is important to note that teachers' way of production is to teach and train students. The student's knowledge is an invisible product. In addition, Their services to students and society are valuable. So education has to be run in accordance with the law of value to realize the aim that the students pay for their education and find jobs by themselves rather than being assigned jobs by the state. Personally, I think education is an independent industry between students and the talent market. It is the indispensable link between the two. So my conclusion is that since science and technology and talented people can enter the market, it is a matter of course for education to enter the market.
219. My Success. I wrote my first poem at the age of 8 or 9. My mother was extremely proud of me after reading it. But I was still anxious for my father's opinion. I wrote my poem out in my finest flourish, crayoned an elaborated border around it, and placed it on my father's plate on the dining table. My father returned rather late in an angry mood. He had been upset by a star who suddenly refused to act in the last scene of a film in the making. When he saw my poem, he read it and pronounced it lousy. This caused a quarrel between him and my mother, who insisted that I needed encouragement, not criticism. Somewhat humbled, I kept on composing poems without daring to show them to my father. When looking at my first poem again a few years later, I found it was really very lousy. But it was not until I became a professional writer that I began to see the beneficial interactions of the mother force and the father force. They had worked together to bring me success.
220. Ideals. An ideal guides people forward in their life journey, just as a beacon does ships on the sea. Many great figures in history achieved success because they all had lofty ideals. As a young man, Thomas Edison had an ideal of becoming an inventor, and he did become one. Florence Nightingale dreamed of becoming a nurse and finally realized her dream. To have an ideal is to have a definite goal for one to strive for, and that will make one's life worth living. Different people may have different ideals, which may lead to different results. Many cherish peace, freedom, the prosperity of their nation, or the happiness of mankind. Their lofty ideals provide them with endless courage and energy to overcome difficulties and ensure their final happiness and success. Some people place money above everything else, and others take power as their ultimate goal. To realize their vulgar dreams will result in crime and degeneration. So it is important for one to have an ideal, but it is more important to have a good and lofty ideal, because only by fostering such an ideal and continuously striving for it can one ultimately lead a life of true value.